Appreciate it.
Moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God,
grant us serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Dylan, drug addict. I want to, number one, thank all y'all for, especially the front row, for hanging in here with us. So we're going to wrap this up with the 12th step. And what I'm fixing to say might sound blasphemous. But, you know, it says in the beginning of working with others that practical experience shows that intensive work with another addict or alcoholic, when all other measures fail, will ensure immunity from the next one. You know, man, my experience has been coming out of my first piece of work, my ass caught fire, and it has never been a chore to sponsor guys. Most of the time. Now, you'll connect with, you know, some people better than others, but there's just a couple of key things I want to talk about in sponsorship. And number one is how much more I realize. So my first sponsor, Mark, I remember I got my 30-day chip, and this son of a bitch had 24, 25 years sober, and he came up to me, he shook my hand, and he said, congratulations. I couldn't wrap my hand around it, my head around it. So I'm like, this dude's got all this time, and I'm like, what? He said, days are hard, years are easy. You know, specifically to the front row, right? Because you're not really loving life, and you're still shaking all this shit, and it's not fun. But even so, right, like the experiences I've had, the trials and low spots, if you will, it hasn't always been sponsorship where we sit down and we have this, you know, we go through the allergy of the body and the mental obsession. There's power in conversation, right? There's power in dialogue. And it talks about it in the book, specifically in chapter 7, you know, that he's helping you much more than you could ever help him, and you would. It gives us a bunch of instructions that I'm not going to sit here and badger you with. Why should I do this? My experience is I can't not do it after having the experience I had coming out of the first 11 steps. It's just the way I'm wired. Not everybody has that experience. And, you know, it's, I finally found a purpose. I sponsor quite a few guys, and never once. So I was talking to one of them the other day, and he's relatively new on a four-step and crying, you know, just, my sister, bro. And I said, hey, man, hey, get off the cross. We need the fucking wood, you know? And he goes, all right, man, I'm going to quit bitching. So this is Thursday night, and I get a text message. It's a picture of a bunch of 1x4s. And I'm like, what the hell? And then about 2 minutes later, he said, here's the wood you needed, you know? And I tell you that because I've had some magical experiences in all this shit, the molestation, the incarceration, the feeling like a failure as a father, as a son, as a human being. Not one of those experiences gets wasted in God's economy. All these liabilities that I walked into these rooms with get turned into assets, right? Because I can sit down across from a new guy and you go, you know, my baby mama's chewing air biscuits still. She won't let me see my kids, blah, 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 blah. And I can go, me too. You know, I've had that same experience. And I, there's some instructions that I got experience with my first sponsor ever, Brock. You know, it says, it is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. As soon as we commence to put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic or the addict commences to rely more upon us than upon God. And probably the worst experience I've ever had as a grown man was sponsor firing me. It's also the best thing that ever happened to me. See, because I would fake it until I made it and tell him all these things. I was praying and meditating, blah, 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 and I wouldn't. And he severed that tie, and to this day, we're still very good friends. You know, sponsorship is great. It is. I'm a three legacy guy, right? Recovery, unity, and service. And it really covers the service piece for me. But the hardest part about this, and they introduce you to it. Have y'all read There's Solution yet? Any of y'all? All right. Page 18 and 19, it says, a much more important demonstration. Can I get a definition of demonstration? Anybody? How I walk. Right. And then they, go ahead. Who's got it? Rise of these principles lies before me in my respective home, occupation, and affairs. But a lot of the times, I will flip it because my affairs is meetings in this fellowship, right? So, I often say that you can fucking buy an African grave for $2,000 and train it to say everything I'm saying. You know, how am I walking when I'm not in here? So, a lot of people don't find a lot of, they think that the lost chapters are not so fun and not so action-packed, right? But here's a couple of things that's, it's going to circle back to some things we've talked about previously, right? Is in the family afterward, there's a line that says supreme, that experience is the thing of supreme value in life. But it's true only if one is willing to turn the past to good account. That happens not only with my family, but in every relationship in my life. See, only when I can realize and get right-sized and understand, because this whole process is grow God, shrink Dylan. That's it, whole deal, really. And we have a set of actions in place that allow us to do that. But for my guys that have been around before and, made the merry-go-round of the Southeast or Georgia of treatment centers, what happens is I get in here, I hear a little bit of what people are saying, and then I need the job, the girl, the car, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it says, I don't have it highlighted in this book, but it talks about let him remember that spiritual success, financial success always followed spiritual success. It never preceded it. But how do I apply this shit, and what is an accurate representation of practicing these principles in all my affairs? Not talking about it, doing it, demonstrating. So, second most important relationship in my life is my daughter. God is number one. Without God, the one with her is impossible. So, very rocky start. And so when I got back in her life, she said she wanted to be a forensic pathologist. Okay, that's cool. She's in the 10th grade. So somewhere in the past year, now she comes around, I take her to events, I've took her to CA World, she's been in my house, she's been in the car when I've taken calls from sponsees. And I don't really pay it any mind, right? Because there is no division in my life. My kids are very much aware of what I'm trying to do. And so she goes, I think I want to be a social worker and work with kids probably 5 to 16 that grew up the same way I did. And I was just curious. We're sitting in the living room. And I said, well, what made you want to do that? She said, well, I saw you helping people that have been where you've been, and I feel like that's what I'm called to do. Huh. See, I don't understand when I'm sitting here and I'm shaking, I'm baking, I'm coming off of fucking fentanyl and meth and all this other stuff, that what I'm really here to do is cause new ripples. Right? Because when we get here, we've been causing all these waves in other people's lives. Right? And they're generally, they flood them out and we break them. But what happens when I take this idea that God is going to be the center of my life and I'm going to be his agent, he's going to be in control, is that the ripples become positive, right? And they start to have a positive effect on people around me. You see what I'm saying? Now, second hardest thing to do in this fucking program is practice them in every avenue of my life. But how many of y'all were sports guys? I heard some guys talking about volleyball. All right. So we're just going to use football for this analogy, right? None of y'all knew how to block, tackle, fucking set a screen, none of that at 8 years old, I'm going to guess, right? Didn't really know how to catch or throw a ball mechanically correct. You had to practice. Practice implies that I'm going to fail every day, right? I'm going to fall short. And just kind of the way Dylan is wired, I'm not a don't do that sponsor. I'm not a don't do that dad. Do it, please. Please do it. All right, because you have to have your own experience. And what'll end up happening, do I want to put this on a recording? All right, I will. So my sister that lives with me, she, you know, we talk and we're on the same path, and she's been miserable at this job. And, you know, I was like, all right, well, look for you another one. And she couldn't find one. So she messages me the other day and goes, this is Monday. She goes, brother. I was like, what's up? She said, I'm fixing to walk out of here. I was like, all right, go ahead. You know, as long as you understand there's an amends on the other end of this action, go ahead. Because, see, I can tell you what to do all day long. But the men that came before me showed me how to be kind, generous, and tolerant with people. Not just in meetings, but they would invite me into their homes, and I would get to see certain things, right? That's why I love that Roscoe lives on property. There is no division. But what are the practical benefits of sponsorship? Who in here thinks they're special? All right. For those of y'all who don't have your hands raised, you're liars. Who in here thinks you've done something you'll never be forgiven for? What will happen is it could be 6 months from now, it could be 6 years from now, and you'll get some half-cocked motherfucker after a meeting walk up to you, and you know, right, you're like, shit, he's fixing to ask me to sponsor him, isn't he? Yeah. And you'll wonder why. And inevitably, I have found with every single dude I sponsor, because on the outside, our lives look so much different. I got dudes I sponsor with gauges. Some of them are very clean cut. Sponsor a gay guy. You know, the external shit doesn't matter. It's the internal. And inevitably, somewhere in the process, if we're going through first step experiences or a fourth step, fifth step, or he's got an amends he's up against, all those liabilities I came in here with, he'll ask me a question or he'll say something and I'll go, me too. And I remember God, right? Because this thing that was a weight on my shoulder for so long has suddenly been cast off. And now it begins to make sense to me of why I had that experience, right? Why did I get molested? Why did I get abandoned as a child? Blah, 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 blah. It all starts to make sense. And the coolest thing, man, how many of y'all in here are needle junkies? All right. There is no greater feeling in the world. Not a shot of meth, not a shot of morphine mixed with Dilaudid and cocaine, than there is of sitting across from a dude who was just detoxing 2 months ago and watch the power of God kickstart his life and the lights come on. That's why Roscoe and them do what they do. It's why I sponsor a bunch of guys. It's why I do a bunch of H&I. You know, because it's cool when it happens to you, right? Like you get your weight back and the abscesses are gone and fucking, you know what I'm saying? You can play some volleyball. But then you watch your experience, how you can play a small role, play a pivotal part in somebody else's journey. And it all starts to make a little bit of sense. And we've all been either sponsored or sponsored someone somewhere in life. Any of y'all learn how to shoot dope by yourself or cook dope or whatever you do? No, somebody showed you, right? Most of the time. We all need teachers. But the one thing I'll tell you about this, about sponsorship, and I'll shut up. I need my sponsor today more than ever. Because what I think I know will lead me back to the next drug. Right? Never will I come to a place of I know everything, I've got everything figured out, because I will call guys on 10-step calls and they'll say something. I'm like, oh shit, I completely forgot about that. And I just told a sponsee 2 days ago. You see what I'm saying? That's the importance of this thing. And you know, the drawback of it, and it doesn't really apply here because y'all don't have phones. But guys get out and they're like, well, I don't want to bother him. You know, he's busy. He's got a lot going on. It's probably the time when you need to call him the most. Because anytime one of us gets busy, my man over there that had 8 years had said that, you know, all this stuff, right? Nothing connected. I slowly drift away. Sometimes we got to pull people back, and that happens with a phone call. I don't know if any of that made any sense, but that's what God gave you. That's all I got.
Thanks, Dylan. TJ.
TJ.
All right, guys, I'm going to be pretty brief about this. Dylan kind of hit it. This is the thing for both of us. I'll speak for both of us. I appreciate you guys having us here, by the way. I mean, you didn't have a choice, but thanks anyway. I already admitted in the early part of this work that I don't know how to manage my own life, so I do not know how to manage yours either. Okay. So if you have a sponsor who tells you who to date, where to go, what to do, drop them. It doesn't work that way. Like Dylan said, we have been uniquely created by God to live in relationship. Some people try to, that's why when we did the fifth step, it says we admitted to God and to others the exact nature of our wrongs. There's another book, some people may call it a book, big book, it's pretty important, but it talks about this idea that when we confess our sins or our character defects or our faults to God, we are forgiven, but when we confess them to someone else, we're healed. Okay. So we have to have a relationship with people. A sponsor, for whatever reason, and we both have this experience, like Dylan just said, there are things that when I have a discussion with Terry that he can see that I very quickly can easily see in you guys, but I can't see in myself. It's God designed it that way. There's a perspective change that he can take a step back and not be emotionally connected to the situation and see it from a different angle, and all of a sudden I see it the same way. Now, I can pass that information on to somebody else real quick, but in my own head, because I'm convinced that I need things to go the way that I want them to do, it's very difficult for me to see my own faults sometimes. So that's what that's about. Some people say it's just a spiritual guide through the steps. That's important, too. I mean, maybe that's what it is. But it's not someone who tells you what to do and lives a different way. I sponsored that way for many years, and it doesn't work. Nobody's attracted to that. So just in the situation with me and Dylan, if a guy like us sponsors somebody, there is no I'm here and you're here and we're going to work to get – that's not the way it works. I'm just a junkie like the rest of people, you know, just trying to get by. And I believe that this is the way it was designed. I think about – and oftentimes it's hard for me to remember the memory. We always talk about the memory won't help. It won't stay – for you guys, the memory of the torture of addiction is not that far back. But for some of you, the further you go back in those seats, the memory begins to fade. It's just not enough. But if I think about some of my worst experiences, you know, a suicide attempt that ended me up in a psych ward, I think about that moment to where I am now. God brought me from that to this, not for me, but for somebody else. So everybody in here, there's somebody out there who's got their name on you, right? There's a Mike, there's a Jeff, there's a Ralph, there's an Andrew, there's a Kevin. There's somebody out there right now who is hitting the pipe for the first time, who God has designed you to get sober and go help them. And you're the one. He doesn't have a backup plan. And the way it works when dealing with talk, every intervention or situation I've had with the new guys divinely intervened, and it was set in place long before I got sober. This is the guy for me. And it always works that way, you know. And when it, even when it doesn't work out, I was telling the guy earlier about sponsorship. My average is if 50 guys ask me for my number, I get through the steps with two. It's fine. It's just the way it works, man. I mean, it's a big step asking somebody and then maybe not ready to do the rest, or maybe they want somebody, whatever it is. The failures are just as much a success as the successes. I don't have anything to do with any of them. There's only one thing that makes a good sponsor, a willing sponsee. There is no gauge of like who's better, whatever. Somebody who's armed with the facts about themselves. But every guy who introduces themselves to me and we have that conversation, there's something there that we need to share with each other along down the road and have him understand that he's in the right place, and to reemphasize the idea that I'm in the right place. You know, and it's oftentimes we'll have guys that, I've had the guys that call me and they have a situation where they're divorced and doing the kids thing. Well, I don't have that. But I know 50 other people who have. So you send them on to the other person for that conversation. And people may have, we all have these experiences. And so this fellowship grows up around us where eventually we kind of help sponsor each other's guys, and everybody's sponsoring everybody. And I'm getting stuff from Dylan, and everybody's just taking and giving all in this one big organism. It's not this set thing of like, our guys introduce us to the fact that you can work steps with a guy who's not your sponsor. It doesn't have to be. You have a guy you call on, you sponsor, and then you work the steps with a group of guys who you don't consider a sponsor. There are oftentimes, my first sponsor when I got back this time, there were certain things that I didn't feel comfortable telling him because I didn't know how he would talk about it. So I had another guy for that. You know, it's just anytime there is a conversation between two addicts sharing openly about what's going on, though, something spiritual is happening, you know. And I'm kind of in a phase now where, and it's just weird, like I sponsor a guy, and I won't turn anybody down certainly, but I'm kind of in middle management right now, which is I'm sponsoring guys who've been sober for a while, who've been through the work and want some sort of a new experience doing things the way we've done. And that's just as important too, because they go out and help the new guys. There's no set way to do this. I used to believe that, I told Terry one time, I got to get a sponsee, right? And he's like, why do you have to get one? The whole point of this thing is building my relationship with God. If I'm relying on a sponsee to help me stay sober, I've missed something, you know? Now, I don't go a long time without one, but the steps are laid out in a way that says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. So the spiritual awakening is taking place before I get to 12. Now, what do we do now that we are awake? Dive deeper into it. Now, I will say, if you get to the 11th step and you say, I'm not sponsoring people, you ain't gonna stay sober. That's just the way it works. When we're open and honest and have a desire to help people, God shows up and sends somebody to you. You know, when the pupil's ready, the teacher appears, and we all just find each other, and it works out beautifully every time. Even if they do 1, 2, 3 and hit the road, 1, 2, 3 hit the road, it doesn't matter. Because what happens is if you're kind and loving to these people, which is often very difficult for me with new guys, 2 years from now, he'll show back up in a room and you may run into him again. Or you may meet somebody when you get out of here and you're the only connection they'll ever have to this book and this way of life. And if you fuck up that meeting, they may never come back. So you have to be the message for it. And the message is real simple for us. We don't have opinions or thoughts or ideas. We believe what the book says. That's the easiest way to live. I used to sponsor with, I'd read a little bit and I'd put it down and go, let me tell you what's really happening here. you know, and I got all my, it didn't work that way. Another thing you'll hear, another saying, and I'll be done with this, is you can't keep what you have unless you give it away, right? Mm. I have been taught that you can't get what you have until you give it away. Mm-hmm. So you can't get it until the sponsorship is complete. There is nothing that is there other than just an understanding of how insignificant I am in this world and how staying sober has nothing to do with me. The real meat of it is when you sit down and have a conversation one-on-one with another guy and this book's in front of you. If until that point you feel like you haven't connected with the Spirit of God and felt some rushing wind and a real powerful, you'll do it then. That's the only time in my life now, the hour I sit down alone in the quiet with the sponsee, that I am totally convinced that God is there and involved in everything that's happening. And sometimes it's, you think you have this amazing spiritual experience, and then the guy's like, oh yeah, man, I drank last weekend. He didn't tell you. I had a schedule to do a fist set with a guy, and he showed up at my house on time and was like, I did cocaine all weekend. You know? But I was still showing up, and sometimes it's easy to get burned out and say, fuck these guys, they ain't gonna do nothing, you know. But that's not the right attitude because, and I learned this from me, the guy that's sitting up there with all the sponsees and at the front of the room saying all the shit may be the guy that's crawling through the back door one day trying to hide and needs a silver chip. And that was me. So I had to have somebody ready there for me. And when I got back, nobody said, oh, there's the guy that had all the years in his back. Look at him. He's a piece of shit. They just said, welcome in. I'll sponsor you and work the step. So there is an idea that I can't burn a bridge because I may be the guy that walks in the back with the I showed up to meetings all the time with the hospital bracelet on, show people how bad I was, you know, got a psych ward. I'd show them, you know, I'm new, you know. And I've never been turned down or turned away by a member of AA or CA. It's the one place in the world, I was having a conversation with a guy out there. Outside of those rooms, there's division, race, sexuality, all this stuff. That's the only place in the world that it doesn't exist, in my opinion. Now, you'll get judged in a room, don't get me wrong. You're going to get judged for your car, your clothes, your girlfriend, but not because of your sexuality or where you came from or your religion or your color. You get a judge in a different way because you're full in a room full of people who are constantly thinking that you're looking at them anyway. So, but it is the place, it's the place where you can feel at home. And then when you start thinking about the power, I sit here and I think about Dylan and the other guys I know, dudes curled up in the fetal position. You know, I used to smoke crack naked. Anybody done that? Because it gets so hot. Yeah. And I drew houses. I'm gonna be an architect. I had the best ideas when I was on crack. And so I would sit in a bedroom drawing, smoking Newport after Newport, drinking Colt 45, smoking crack and my underwear. And God looked down and said, that's a guy I'm gonna use to help somebody. Mm. So, and ain't got nothing to do with me. I got to remember when I came from and when I come to a guy, I say, hey, listen, me and him are not something. Sometimes after this thing, people come here, oh, that's so amazing. No, please don't do that shit. We just understood and accepted the grace and got a little window of it. No, make no mistake about it. Lying, stealing, cheating junkies up here that have been saved by grace. Not for our purposes, but for the people around us. If my wife and I wouldn't have gotten sober, I wouldn't have Audrey and Evelyn. You know, he was a plan for me. He doesn't, my life is they not so I can see how happy I am. It's because I can do work and help other people. Do his work, stay close to him. So, long story short, God is not really interested in your happiness. He's interested in your helpfulness. Hmm. How many people are you going to help? But the little extra thing add on in the end is it's the best way to feel the best about yourself and give back, and it fills you up with the Spirit to help others. It's a double-edged sword. Make no mistake about it, for Dylan and I to drive here and come in here and stay in that hotel and come up here, we are doing it for us. I am. But you guys will benefit from it, hopefully. And as I said, as you sit here and you think about the hours and the days that tick away, there's somebody out there right now who doesn't have the answer, who's waiting on you to get out there and come find them. You know, the good thing is, used to, back in the day, Bill literally go under a bridge, abandoned buildings, train stations. They were begging to look. They were doctors, Catholic churches, everywhere, calling people, where's the drunks? Where are the drunks? Now, you guys, you think you're going to have any trouble finding somebody now? Fucking everywhere. Thousands of them. It says the book, thousands are falling off to oblivion every day. There's a lot of people that need help. And the good news is we can help them. The bad news is we're God's only plan he's got. Now, I've been to psychiatrists before, and I spout off shit, and they don't believe me, and I don't buy them. I sit down with a drunk outside of a meeting, and I feel like I've known this guy my entire life, closer to me than my own mom and dad. And that's what this thing's about. So you work these steps. You find somebody else. Doesn't work. You find somebody else. You find somebody else. And the best thing is when you sponsor a guy and you see him grab somebody up and start working with him. And I'm making a difference. Before the ripple I had in my life was I steal and fuck everybody's stuff up. And now I'm a productive member of society only because of God's grace. We really appreciate this opportunity. I hear you guys shifting. You guys have been a great audience. So if you go to a treatment center, a real treatment center, like institutionalized, and they're all on dope and stuff, half of you some bitches would be asleep. But y'all did it. You did a good job, man. I appreciate it. But that's all we got. Thanks. Yeah.